After years of living in exile, the prophet Isaiah had good news to share. That beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, announces peace, announces salvation. And it is a fitting message to revisit and to think about, to rehearse and to echo around Christmas as we celebrate the good news of the birth of Jesus. The people of God had suffered so much at the hands of the Babylonians. They had been taken from their home, everything that was familiar to them, and forced to walk some 900 miles into the unknown, and then they had to remain there for some 50 years. So standing there on the mountaintop, bringing good news, beautiful was the feat of the messenger. But what happens when the messenger walks back down the mountain? Do the same feet become tired and weary? That for weeks, our anticipation grew with Christmas on the horizon, and we were so busy getting ready, putting stamps on envelopes to mail out Christmas cards, hiding packages when they arrived at the front door. And we were busy running out to pick up more wrapping paper in the middle of the night when we finally ran out. And now, just one day after Christmas, perhaps some of the new toys are already broken. We realize we forgot to deliver our neighbor's gift, and the Christmas casserole did not turn out as we hoped. The days prior to Christmas, though, are full of magic. That we drive through our neighborhood a little slower, lingering in front of the Christmas lights. The spirit of generosity that fills the air is awe-inspiring, and every radio station is playing Christmas music. It is magical. But as one person wrote in to her local newspaper, lamenting, "Christmas does not last." That the magic disappears so quickly. It's why the Gospel of John is so helpful, because it does not announce the good news up there just on the mountain. That the Gospel of John does not say much about the birth of Jesus. There are no angels or donkeys. It doesn't talk much about Mary or Joseph. It doesn't even visit Bethlehem. Instead, it goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was the light that enlivened all people. And then it says, the Word became flesh and lived among us. That the good news came down the mountain to be with us. I've asked this question many times. Does this tie match? You know, in the fog of the early morning, sometimes it's hard to tell. Most of the time, the tie picks itself. You've worn this tie with that shirt and this suit before, so the choice is obvious. But other times, you're not really sure. So I seek help. Does this tie match? And she says, yes. I like the contrast. which is an odd affirmation. I thought colors were supposed to blend to match, not contrast. But when the Word became flesh, it's the contrast that is so helpful. That we can find the transcendent in the imminent. That we can brush up against the divine in the daily. It is the Word became flesh. It is the contrast of love. That love is transcendent, but it seeks us out in the details of our lives. Because love is the practice of patience. As we endure an avalanche of frustrations. That love is the practice of commitment. Giving of our best to those within our care. That love is the practice of service. Always widening the circle of our lives. It is the Word became flesh. And we discover that in order to see the big picture, we have to first see the small picture. And the small picture is the story of Christmas. And it happens more than once. Christian Becker was a New Testament professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, and he was always guarding against what he called the swoop-down theory, that at Christmas, God swooped down to be with us for a moment, that if you blinked, you missed it. It's like the day after Christmas. We prepare for weeks, and then Christmas is here. And if you blink, you miss it. But God did not swoop down and leave. God is not up there in heaven or back there in history. That Christmas did not happen just once. It keeps happening. Because the good news came down off the mountain to be with us. And it's why we come to this place every week. We need to say out loud, God is with us. And we need to hear others say that to us. Because after Christmas, we continue to lean into hope. We are still called to be peacemakers. We keep celebrating the joy around us, and we are still meant to love and to be loved. It's why we light the Christ candle each and every week, because it says to us, God is here. And if that is true, it changes everything. I have a good friend who was the pastor of a church in South Georgia. The church was just starting out. It did not have a building or a sanctuary, so it met in a borrowed gymnasium. So every Sunday morning, the volunteers showed up to set up the sanctuary. And they always put the pulpit right underneath the basketball goal. And then all the chairs would go back to about the half-court line, except on Christmas Eve, because the congregation was larger on Christmas Eve. So they set the chairs up all the way back to the free throw line on the other end of the court. So it was Christmas Eve on the free throw line. which is quite fitting. Because Christmas is not just about magic. It's about the Word become flesh. And a shot at half court is quite magical. But not a free throw. If we step up to the free throw line, we take a deep breath and we bounce the ball twice and we take a shot. It's the same routine every time. And we can develop rhythms and routines in our lives, like lighting the Christ candle, that reminds us God is here. So we can shout that good news from the mountaintop, and we should. But then we can bring it with us back down the mountain into our daily lives. Amen.